So, welcome back to our follow-up episode on oysters, orchards, oil, and desert raiders. We were talking about Bahrain. Now, I'm really going to be honest with you. We try to keep these episodes as short as possible and keep them into one, you know, really long episode. But I don't think people are going to watch a 20-minute episode. I would watch a 20-minute episode of Keeping It Real, you know. But I don't think many people would, so we apologize that we have to make two episodes out of these things.
Hey, stop!
But anyways, if you want to stay up to date, just make sure to watch the previous episode and you know what we are talking about. Now, right from the beginning, the local native Bahraini population had a problem with these Al Khalifa desert raider nomad foreigners that all of a sudden had showed up in the country. And of course, the British imperialistas who had their undue influence, of course, because they made the Al Khalifa guys the de facto rulers, and of their undue influence.
And so we shall go to war.
So on many different and multiple occasions, we find that the Shia population, overwhelmingly Shia population of Bahrain, they did uprisings and they uprose and rose against the Al Khalifa desert raider regime and their de facto, you know, posse, backup, poupee rulers, the British imperialistas. This happened in multiple different years, such as 1911, 1984, I'm just gonna read it from the screen. It's like seven different years. Somebody tell the scripter to not do this. 1911, 1981, 1994, and 2000, just to name a few. That's a lot of time that the people rose up against the usurping governmental hereditary dynasty that they didn't want around. Get out. Go back to where you were, you know, expelled from, Al Khalifas. I mean, who gave them that name? They probably just made it up, you know, because it's one of those things that's really Islamic and, you know, Al Khulafa or Rashidun. So they're like, yeah, we're the Al Khalifa.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In 2011, we find that in the wake of the Islamic awakening that was happening in the Western Asian region, which of course had been fraudulently named by the Western media Zionist empire as the Arab Spring, because we want to, you know, make it a nationalistic type thing where this is only limited to the Arabs of the region. It's got nothing to do with Islam. But as Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei says, this was in reality an Islamic awakening, but another episode of Keeping It Real for some other time. In 2011, during this Islamic awakening, we find that the Bahraini people stand up and they also fight for their freedom, their democracy, their human rights, their right to earn a livelihood and have jobs and have a say in their government. They are the overwhelming majority, which begs the question, if all you democracy, human rights supporters all across the world, you know, I mean, if you're gonna, support democracy in all these different countries, such as the Islamic Republic of Iran, how come you don't support democracy in countries like Bahrain, where the Al Khalifa regime, the Al Khalifa is supposedly, they call themselves Sunni Muslims. They ain't no Sunni Muslims, you know. I know Sunni Muslims, but anyways, let's not digress. So you put a minority foreigner people on top of, this is not democracy. So this stuff happens in 2011 and the Islamic awakening creates uprisings in Bahrain. So just like any other Western poupee, the desert raiders, the Al Khalifa regime, they begin a severe crackdown on the people, right? So, I mean, we're talking about human rights abuses. We are talking about arbitrary detention. And we define these terms in all of our programs, right? Arbitrary detentions, arbitrary killings, kidnappings. And I mean, it doesn't matter, men, women, children. I mean, fine. You know, you want to imprison men, fine. But, you know, why are you doing abusive rights and torture practices and the like, you know, on women? I mean, that's just, this. you know, you have no manhood. And so they start to imprison and really oppress a lot of political activists, honorable religious scholars, right? I mean, you name it. I think a couple of years ago, maybe 2018, Sheikh Ali Salman, who of the Al-Wifaq party, like they sentenced him to life in prison, like he hadn't done anything other than demand democratic reform. You know, USA, where are you? You know, I would have said, you know, Queen of England, please help, but...
She's dead, wrapped in plastic.
So anyways, these people, men, women, and children, and the overwhelming Shia majority population, they continue to come out on the streets. They want democratic reforms. You know, they want the freedom of expression. They want freedom of speech. They want transparency. They want to have a hand in their own government. And so one of the places that they would go and, you know, come together and have these peaceful activist demonstrations was the Pearl Roundabout. And so out of anger, the Al Khalifa Desert Raiders, you know, just like their personality is. So they went and they destroyed this national monument of Bahrain. I mean, unbelievable. They went and they broke it down. I mean, I'm sure you've seen pictures of it. It was this really like four or five kind of like minarets coming up, and there was a pearl in the middle, you know, alluding to their ancient history of being this pearl manufacturing and pearl hub. They went, bro, and they destroyed it. And it's like, what homegrown national goes and destroys their own monuments? It's like an American goes and destroys the Statue of Liberty, or a Frenchman goes and destroys the Eiffel Tower, or, you know, the British go and, you know, destroy whatever national monument they have. So eventually the Desert Raider tribe, they freak out, you know, they realize that the situation is no longer under their control, you know, because the people are continuing to demand their God-given rights. And the British imperialistas and the imperialistas in general, they only sell you weapons. They don't really send any boots on the ground. You know, watch the Ukraine episode, right? And so, you know, when you're a minority government that's ruling a majority, I mean, you can't have enough weapons to be able to win. So these guys, they really start to freak out, you know, and then they start asking for help. So of course, what does one Desert Raider tribe do when they're in trouble? They ask another Desert Raider tribe for help. And so they called the Saudis for assistance, of course, another Keeping It Real episode. And they also called the Emiratis for some help. And they probably didn't do as much, you know, as the Saudis did. So it was very famous. You saw that these little, like, kind of mini SUV military vehicles were going over this bridge, because there's a bridge that connects Saudi Arabia and the island of Bahrain. So they were bringing all these trucks in there. And of course, what was to follow was an unfortunate series of events, which included severe oppression, severe torture. I mean, we're talking about beating people, you know, electrifying people. I mean, you know, stuff that the CIA, MI6 probably taught these guys. Now, unfortunately, one of the things that did occur is systematic torture. Now, we tend to define certain words for the people out there because sometimes people just don't know. They're like, oh, systematic torture, oh yeah, that's bad, but you don't know what it is. So because it's a long definition, I'm gonna read it off the website. Systematic torture is the planned and systematic, severe and violent physical, psychological, and spiritual abuse of a human being in order to break them. And that's what they did to innocent people all across Bahrain who only wanted democratic reform and freedom of speech and the right to life. And so, of course, when it is to their benefit, we find that certain NGOs and human rights organizations put out a statement when things are really out of control. So I have one from Amnesty International, and again, it's kind of too long to memorize, and so I'll just read the quote from Amnesty International Human Rights Organization. They say that 10 years after Bahrain's popular uprising, that means 2021, systematic injustice has intensified. And political repression targeting dissidents, human rights defenders, religious clerics, and independent civil society, that means innocent people, have effectively shut any space for the peaceful exercise of the right to freedom of expression or peaceful activism. So it's a total blackout. And they're talking about 11 years after 2011, that means 2021. Right now we're probably in 2022. So that means up to last year, there is a complete severe crackdown by the Al Khalifa Desert Raider regime against the majority Shia population of Bahrain. To this point where effectively it's a blackout, it's a complete crackdown. It's not my words, it's not Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei's words, not some Muslim's word, it's not, you know, it is Amnesty International at this point in time which is saying this. And so one last thing while we're keeping it real as we close the episode. Do you know what happens when savage imperialistas come and steal your land? And then they give your land to a bunch of foreign desert raiders who don't belong in your neighborhood. You know what happens if you want to keep that land that was stolen by somebody else and then given to somebody else? You know what you have to do to keep that land? Does this make sense so far? Yeah, it's kind of complex. Do you know what you have to do in order to be able to keep that gifted land? Well, you better pay up, brother. It's gonna cost you a pretty penny. And I'm not talking about centavos. I'm talking about major dollars. There is a huge price tag if you want to keep that land. And so that is exactly what the Al Khalifa Desert Raider tribe did. They paid up big time. The price tag was huge. And I'm going to tell you what the price tag is as we end this episode. In order to keep their stolen piece of land given to them by usurpers and colonizers, the Desert Raider tribe Al Khalifa has provided the United States of America with a military base in Jufair since the early 1900s. Cha-ching! And there has existed a military naval presence of the United States of America in Bahrain since 1948. Cha-ching! Bahrain is also currently the home of the headquarters of the United States of America's, the United States 5th Fleet. Cha-ching! And the United States 5th Fleet also happens to have around 6,000 military personnel stationed there. And they're not there doing nothing. A lot of bad stuff comes out of these things, and you find out that they've been like selling and buying women, etc. Anyways, that's another cha-ching. And since 2018, the British Royal Navy has a naval military base at Mina Salman. Cha-ching. And in 2020, Bahrain happens to establish and normalize relations with the Zionist regime of Israel. Cha-ching! That, my friends, is the price tag. You want to keep your little piece of heaven? Well, this is what you got to pay up, brother. They're practically stealing the dishdashes off of them. But in all this chaos, there is one man who is really giving the run for their money to the British imperialistas and the American imperialistas for that matter, and is giving a whole bunch of trouble to these desert raider tribes, the Al Khalifa regime, and his name is Ayatollah Sheikh Isa Qasim. He is an original homegrown Bahraini for generations. Why do I say that? Because he is actually a native of Bahrain, unlike the Desert Raider Al Khalifa regime. I mean, if anybody has the right to rule and, you know, I don't know, presidency of Bahrain, you know, it should be Sheikh Isa Qasim, because their family has been there for like forever. These other guys are just foreigners, right? And he's not alone. You know, don't get me wrong. Don't let him fool you with his age. He's not just some old guy. He is incredibly, incredibly powerful. He is supported by the Al-Wifaq political party. And of course, he is supported by Sheikh Ali Salman, even though he's in prison. But he is still a threat and a danger to the usurping political establishment of the Al-Khalifa regime. And not to mention that these people are supported overwhelmingly by the Shia Bahraini population, which is the majority of the population of Bahrain. And just on a note, you know, please, you know, y'all need to understand that taking away the brothers' nationality is not gonna do nothing. Y'all compadres have already lost. Y'all don't just don't know it yet. You know, I mean, you're already selling your dish dashes to the Zionists. I mean, it's just shameful. At least keep one. And so in the honor of Ayatollah Sheikh Isa Qasim, we end this episode of Oysters, Orchards, Oil, and Desert Raiders with a quote from His Eminence Ayatollah Sheikh Isa Qasim. And I read as he quotes, "Why do these sellout regimes sell all this to the great tyrants? They sell out to the great tyrants in order to protect themselves from the wrath of the oppressed and plundered peoples that are being subjugated and oppressed under them. And they do so in order to protect themselves from the revolution of these very same oppressed and plundered people against their regime's sweeping, oppressive, and tyrannical corruption upon the earth." Salute, Sheikh Isa Qasim. Hey, we're just keeping it real. The leader of the Muslim, repeat. Kingdom, wrong. Don't bring that into bloopers. Now we go for the second episode. See, it was short. It wasn't that bad. You know? Cut. No more. That's it. I don't think we need to put this in the bloopers, to be honest with you.
We can.
I know we can, but like, be very careful. What's happening in Iran? You know, what's going on with this? There's nothing going on. Nothing is going on. Everything is fine. People going to the grocery store, buying their groceries, getting gas at the gas station. Like, okay, I mean, you know, we'll be honest. Yeah, there are a handful of people that came out and they did some bad stuff. Yeah, you know, but it's not like the country is breaking apart. You know, yeah, there's some people came out, they did some stuff, you know, they broke some stuff. And, you know, but do you know how many foreign agencies they're finding out? See, one of the things these guys make a mistake is that they forget, you know, that, like, there's also an investigative team here. So just like there's a FBI and a CIA and a Mossad and a MI6 and MI5 and, you know, MI4, there's also intelligence services in this country. You know, come on, man, they're going to figure out that all you guys out there are doing these things. You know, like, how much does it take? Okay, anyways, we need to. All right. So, how's life? It's good? Oh, really?
Because this life.
Where have you